This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
A pet swan named Pooh.
Yeah.
Now, that's remarkable.
Get out of here.
Wait, a chicken has an earlobe?
The color of the earlobe?
Well, how else are they going to wear earrings?
That's why, you know, you never saw Dick Clark and Fidel Castro at the same time either. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tim Wildman, and by us, I mean Ed Vitagliano is here. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And the pride of Owensboro, Kentucky, J.J. Jasper, sits across the way. Good morning, J.J.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And thank you, folks, for listening to AFR, and this is Trivia Friday. If you're new to AFR, on Fridays, for an hour and a half here, we help the world in more than one way. But, Ed, you want to tell folks what our goals, aims, and objectives are?
Absolutely. Our goals, the purpose of this show is to make our listeners betterer, smarterer, and more awesome.
Bring it.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
And those of you that give out the Nobel Prize, if you're listening, you really don't have to look any farther.
I don't think so.
If they're filling out an application or sorting through that, here you go.
Here we are for all the world to see.
Yes.
And here.
Making the world a better place one question
one
at a time.
One question at a time.
Yes.
All right, it's Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. A couple of ground rules. One is if you've gotten on the air with us in the last 4 weeks, please don't call. Because we like to get as many new people an opportunity, to have as many new people be given an opportunity, I should say, to get on the program live with us as possible. So, 4 week waiting period between calls. Secondly, if a particular question is answered correctly, you will hear this sound. Yes, a beloved cowbell will ring, and that means you've answered the mystery question correctly. And, because of that reason, and for those watching us now on Facebook and YouTube, just type in Today's Issues, Facebook and YouTube. If you're watching there, you will now see that, here you go, Ed.
Yeah.
Ed and JJ, I gave mine away last week. Ed and JJ are now holding up our Trivia Friday / Learning University t-shirts.
And they are a wonder to behold.
Yeah.
Good little stocking stuffer. You have a chance
good
to
idea.
Win that if you answer the mystery question correctly. And it's going to be one of these original 9 questions.
Yeah.
But if you've got some people that love Trivia Friday, what a fun little stocking stuffer to go online and get this. It's just $15.
I think Ed said something to behold, and you called it a stocking stuffer. So,
maybe
it's probably
somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between.
Well, if you want to get your own, you want to have to go through the brain strain of winning it. You can go and buy one at afastore.net, and you can see what they look like.
afastore.net,
and as we've mentioned, these things. You just wear it; it makes you smarter.
Yeah,
it makes you stronger, able to run faster, jump higher.
Sort of like a mental Superman change, if you will. You know,
I think that's fair and accurate.
In the phone booth,
no fake news here.
No. So you get in the phone booth, you put on your Trivia Friday T-shirt, and shazam!
You're able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
That's right.
Right. Personally, I think if you leaped it in a couple bounds, it'd still be a good...
yes, it would. Nothing shabby about that.
No, I think you can make an NBA. You can do that. A
couple bounds. You can eat Brussels sprouts and keep them down after you've swallowed.
My wife and I, we have so many common interests. We really do. Of course, you know, we're different in ways, like most married couples are, but... We have a lot of the same interests, a lot of the same food likes and everything. But when it gets to Brussels sprouts, that's just a divider
Part ways?
Oh, absolutely. So the day she ordered Brussels sprouts. She loves Brussels
sprouts. She ordered them in a restaurant?
Oh, yeah. Now, they did have...
Paid for them?
They did have little bacon chips on there. So, well. I mean, it made them go down. But she's here, have some of them. Have some of them. Taste these Brussels sprouts. They're awesome. She's saying to me, and I'm saying, I don't want to taste the Brussels sprouts. They're bitter.
Yes.
They shouldn't be allowed in the vegetable family.
A lot of church splits over Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
And rightfully so.
Asparagus. She's a big asparagus fan.
I can go there a little bit with a little bit of asparagus.
I like asparagus
with some butter
in small doses.
Yeah, I agree.
We had it last night.
Asparagus.
We had some fish and some mushrooms, and my wife had these huge asparagus stalks.
Yeah,
and I had a plate full of them. I thought this is an overdose on asparagus.
Ever since VeggieTales, I look at it a little different. You know. You know, it's kind of weird.
You don't realize you're eating a sentient creature.
These things talk in my children's videos, and here I am eating them.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. We're going to give three questions each and then get to your questions. Here's the phone number to reach us, 888. This is to be on the air now and ask your question and answer ours, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Send us an email at comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. As I said earlier, you can watch the show on Facebook or YouTube right now live. Go to either of those and just type in today's issues, and you'll see the aforementioned J.J. Jasper, Ed Battagliano, and me. All right, Ed, go ahead.
All right, here are my three questions. First, what network originally aired Andy Griffith? We've got a lot of Andy Griffith fans out there. What network originally aired Andy Griffith? It was on from 1960 to 1968. Second question, who was the first man in space? Who was the first man in space? And third question, when you get an invitation that says RSVP, what does it stand for? What does it mean when you get an invitation that says RSVP?
Now, you're not asking what that means. You're asking what the RSVP stands for.
It's a little tricky. You can do it either way.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, you mentioned that Mayberry thing. These people on social media are so very clever. Somebody sent me this. You're talking about Mayberry? They said, it just dawned on me. Well, hold on here. It just dawned on me why Mayberry was so peaceful and quiet. Nobody was married. They go on to say, here are the single people that come to mind. Andy, Aunt B, Barney, Floyd, Howard, Goober, Gomer, Sam, Ernest T. Bass, the Darlin family, Helen, Thelma Lou, Clara. In fact, the only one married was Otis, and he stayed drunk.
You know, I've never thought about that.
We lost Tim on that one. Yeah, that's a I had never thought of that either, and I laughed. I mean, you know, of course, you know, we're all about family and marriage and everything, but that was very funny. There are some witty, clever people out there
I had never thought about that, but they are they're all single.
Yeah. Hey, here's my three questions. First one, which U.S. state is nicknamed the Badger State? Which U.S. state is nicknamed the Badger State? Second question, what author wrote As I Lay Dying? Now, I'll just go ahead and say famous author. What famous author wrote As I Lay Dying? Third question, true or false? Colonel Harlan Sanders once shot a man in a feud over an advertising sign. Is that true? Or false? And I'm talking about the Colonel Fried Chicken of Colonel Fried Chicken fame. Colonel Harlan Sanders once shot a man in a gunfight in a feud over an advertising sign. True or false?
Talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentucky Fried. What did I say?
Colonel Fried Chicken.
Yeah, Kentucky Fried Chicken. So, yeah, he might have been...
now known as KFC.
Right.
Yes.
So if this is true, he might have been finger-licking crazy. I don't know.
All right, here are my questions. Number one, what building first appeared on the back of a $20 bill in 1928? What building? First appeared on the back of a $20 bill in the year 1928. So that's a history question, as well as,
a money question.
Are knowledgeable about currency or American money. Number two, okay, now, this could be considered a tricky question, but it's really not. Think about it. Who was the first American in space? Okay. Who was the first American in space? Not landed on the moon necessarily, or who was the first American in space? And number three, Bible question. What does the trying of one's faith work out? Or, excuse me, let me rephrase that. What does the trying of one's faith work or work out?
Good Bible question.
You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
To that guy, in first guy in space, we just came from through Thanksgiving.
I have a question. Who's the first man in space? You have the first American in space.
Oh, well, I'm wondering, does it have anything to do with those people when they were cooking their, frying their turkey out in those things, you know, where you had all these people blowing up their carport and everything else? I wonder if, you know, does any of that qualify, or does it have to be a NASA approved venture?
Yeah, where's Uncle Al? Well, son, he's in space.
He was dipping that turkey down in that hot boiling oil.
Go ahead.
Okay, shall we go?
I think so.
All right, I think we go to Louisiana. That's where I'd like to go first. Keith is on the line. Keith, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning to the professors. How are y'all doing?
Actually, all right. Doing pretty well.
Thank you, Keith.
You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I believe I'll just ask.
Okay, what's your question? Oh, you going to answer one?
Yes.
Which one you want to try to answer?
I was going to do the first man in space, but since I'm going to try the first American.
Okay.
I'm going to be American.
All right. Good. Okay, Keith, here's a question. Who was the first American in space?
That'd be Alan Shepard.
Alan Shepard.
Nicely done, Keith. Way to start us out.
You know, some people would have probably said
Glenn or somebody.
I would have said John Glenn, but he was the first one to orbit the Earth, true?
No, he was the first American.
First American to orbit the Earth?
Yes.
John Glenn was the oldest man to be in space. Yeah. 77, I think. So that was pretty good for.
Yeah,
you know,
that's for an old timer.
Yeah.
You got a question for us, Keith, or not?
No, sir. But, okay. That other guy, I couldn't pronounce his name, so I just stuck with that one.
There you go. Yeah, don't give that one away.
Alan Shepard. And all right, thank you, brother. Appreciate it, Keith. You had the John Glenn, and then maybe I should stop here because I might run into the name of the Ed's question. But
right. Yeah, we don't want to run into that.
No, you run into that.
All right.
Painful.
It can. Huh? All right. So we go to North Carolina. This is a name. I've never heard this before. Todd? Some guy named Todd from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Todd.
Record holder.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be back, even though I seem to be a stranger to you, Ed. I just don't understand why.
Hey, Todd, how many times
has he won the mystery
question? Have you won the mystery question?
Somewhere around 7 or 8.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's just luck because not Todd's knowledge.
Right.
But the
calling
fact
in and answering the question that happens to be the mystery question.
Right.
We don't pick till 10 o'clock Central Time. So.
Right.
Anyway.
So, well, Todd, welcome back. I know it's been over 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I would like to do both.
All right. Which question do you want to try to answer?
Actually, I'm going to attempt your question about the first man in space.
Okay. Well, who was the first man in space?
Yuri Gagarin.
That is correct.
People are going to think
we planned this before the show. They're going to think we're in some kind of, you know,
a cabal or something.
A cabal.
No, when he said he wanted my question. I thought that one was going to stay on the board for a while. Yuri Gagarin, the Russian.
Yeah, who knows
Know that, Todd, or did you look it up? Not that it matters. You still
I've known that for years.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, well.
So he's at number 8 for sure.
Well, if you're a Russian, Yuri's kind of like John.
Yeah.
In English, you know, it's a pretty common name, so. But. He got first and last name.
That's remarkable that we're sitting there. You know, I just thought about saying, how many times have you won it? And I had no idea, you know. Right. We didn't know which of the nine questions he was going to pick. That's pretty remarkable.
This is Todd. This is I think he's got some kind of anointing on his life.
Hold on your praise for Todd for just a minute, because what always happens is he answers the question, we give him the prize, and then listen, just get ready for this question we're about to hear from Todd right now.
The Bible question.
It's going to dive deep, my friend.
Yes.
And challenge.
All right. Now, Todd, so do you want your T-shirt?
How many books are there in the Bible,
Todd? Do you want your T-shirt this time?
Well,
I mean, we'd be happy to give it to you if you want your T-shirt.
Well, no, I have two from you, so I would like to donate it to the person who gets the next question right.
Wow.
Right.
So that's what Todd
pass
does.
Pass it on.
Yeah, he passes.
And that's
pass it
what
on.
The Christmas spirit is all about right there.
So the next person to answer a question correctly on the show gets Todd's T-shirt.
Yeah.
Tim, you're holding the T-shirt.
Oh,
up,
I am? Backwards. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right,
ahead.
So Todd, what's your question for us, brother?
Okay, my question is, I'm pretty sure we've all heard of the hymn "Out of the Ivory Palaces."
Sing it.
I don't think
give
I.
Some,
I
give
think
us
I
a little,
have.
Hum that first line.
Well, I like I said, I'm not exactly sure if it's actually the name of the hymn or maybe the part of the chorus, but it's like the actual words go, "Out of the Ivory Palaces."
Hmm. I've heard of Ivory Towers.
Yeah, I've never heard this hymn.
But, you know, go ahead.
And I, and if I have,
familiar.
I've never heard it sung quite that way.
Yeah.
Todd, what's the question?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, my question is, from what book of the Bible do you find that phrase, "out of the ivory palaces"?
A good question.
That's really
all right,
good.
We're going to talk amongst ourselves, Todd, so hang on a second. Okay, I'm going to guess.
Right.
I'm going to guess Song of Solomon. That's what I'm going to
guess. Good.
What do you guys got?
Why? Because he talked about ivory towers? I mean, ivory palaces.
I think that's from Song of Solomon. I mean, this is pretty much a guess.
Let's
but
go. I'm going to go with.
And ivory. Where do you get ivory from?
Elephant tusk.
So you got. But there aren't palaces really made out of elephant tusk, right?
I don't know.
They had a lot of things made out of ivory.
Yeah.
Yeah, but imagine a palace. But anyway, maybe it's not literal. Maybe it's figurative. I'll go with you. Song of Solomon.
We're going to go with Song of Solomon, Todd.
Well, I'm afraid that's incorrect. The actual answer is the book of Psalms. It would be Psalm 45, verse 8.
Read it.
Pardon?
Read it or quote it for us.
Well, I'll tell you, let me do something better. I can actually give you audio, if that's all right with you, if you want to hear this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're sight impaired, right?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
I've got it queued up here.
Okay,
what
you go.
Hear, all right, hold on just a second.
Okay.
Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad.
Okay.
Wow.
You know
whose
that
voice is that? That
that's me. I was fixing to say I did that 10 years ago, and I haven't even heard it myself in that long. And that takes me back.
I'm sure it takes you back.
Wow.
Your punishment for that have to eat Brussels sprouts.
I used to do thespian stuff, and
if you'd scoot over this way, Ed, because I don't know how precise those lightning strikes are, maybe you and I won't get singed.
Todd, that's a very famous voice. Who is that? That is
that comes from the original narration that Alexander Scorby did of the
Scorby,
Bible.
Yes,
wow.
Back from the 1950s. Actually, I just recently found out that it took him 4 years to record the whole Bible, and so apparently from like 1949 to 1953. Is when he first narrated the Bible, because he was the first man to do it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very famous for Scorby.
Hey, and Todd, you're talking about when you were singing that little clip of that song and we weren't really tracking with you. Don't feel bad about that, because one of my favorite Christmas songs nobody has really heard of, "I'll be cloned for Christmas. You can count on me. And me, and me." Hey, buddy.
That's a polite laugh, because
thank you,
those
Todd.
Of us here at AFA have unfortunately heard
Christmas?
That joke
every Christmas. Hey, buddy, thank you, and thank you for paying it forward on this T-shirt. Remind people, the next person that gets a question correct, you're going to win the T-shirt that Todd actually won. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, let me tell you, thanks, Todd. I appreciate it. Tell you, an app I use, like he was playing that over the phone for us, which Ed's heard some of this, and we don't get paid by this company, and I just found this app, but it's a great Bible app, and you listen to the Bible, but it's a drama. It's in dramatic. It's not just, you know, it has sounds, and it's Bible.is.
Yeah. We want to make it clear that it doesn't change anything. It goes strictly by the Bible, but they add sound effects and have different voice actors.
Yes. So if you have a female, if you have a female talking in the Bible when you're reading it, it'll have a female voice come on.
Yes.
But it's extremely interesting to listen to. It makes, you know.
You let me listen to that, and just like you're saying, if it's talking about somebody walking beside
the you're listening to it now?
No, you had me listen to that. Yeah.
It's Bible. It's Bible.is. It's an app you get on your Apple.
It's free. But if they're reading a verse about, and you walk down beside the Sea of Galilee, you may hear water
lapping
and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Example. Back to the phones.
Okay, we go back to Louisiana, and Seth is on the line. Seth, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning.
Good morning, Seth. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'll do both, please.
All right, which question do you want to answer, Seth?
The one about Andy Griffith, which has heretofore gone unanswered.
That's what we're talking about, brother. Seth.
All right,
that's
Seth.
What we're talking
good,
about.
Good Seth, job
got
there.
Got his heretofore in before I did.
What network originally aired Andy Griffith?
CBS.
CBS is correct.
CBS.
And nice, as the person who answered a question correctly, Seth wins T-shirt.
That's right.
So, Seth, congratulations on that, and make sure when we're finished with you on air, do not hang up.
Are you an Andy Griffith fan? Oh, you need. Excuse me.
I was going to say we will put you on hold and get your information for shipping your T-shirt out. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, did I tell you guys I got to meet Seth earlier this year? Just a couple of months ago, I was speaking. A church in Natchez, Mississippi had me come, but the event was right across the Mississippi River in Louisiana, and Seth and his family was there. And
that
great to get to meet you, Seth.
You too.
All right, Seth, we got a little bit of time here before the break. What's your question for us?
One of them is kind of easy, so I'm going to make it two. Is that okay?
Okay, we may run over a little bit, but we'll hold you through the break. Go ahead with your first question.
When Ronald Reagan was assassinated and he went to the hospital, what was the first thing he said to his wife when he saw her?
He said, you guys mind if I answer this?
You go ahead.
He said, make sure the surgeons are Republicans. Is that right?
Oh, I forgot about that. I was thinking, honey, I forgot the duck.
Oh, well, you may be right.
That's
you
right.
You're probably right.
In the operating room or somewhere, he did say that. He wanted to check with the...
I do remember that.
Hey, what's your next question? Maybe we can get it while the music's playing.
Before President Lincoln was assassinated, one day Ted fell off of the train, and the hand that caught him was who?
Ted fell off the train.
I think we're going to have to hold
you. Well, maybe you can just tell us the answer, because we're not going to know. Was it Abraham Lincoln?
It was the brother of John Wilkes Booth.
Wow. That caught him? Wow.
That caught who?
This was a few months before President Lincoln's assassination.
And it caught who? Ted or Todd?
I think it was Ted. He caught him from falling off the train platform.
Seth, we're going to have to go.
Thanks, buddy.
Stay on the line, brother.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, the popularity of our spiritual heritage tours each year continues to grow. Those are our tours to Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips, but a lot of folks go on both of them. But the popularity continues to grow, and we sell out 2 or 3 months in advance every year. So we're letting you know when our June and September tours are. Just go to our website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. There's two tours. There's one to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and then there's a separate trip, but they're back-to-back to Washington, D.C., and to George Washington's Mount Vernon. So, if you want to go on those tours with us, just go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com, and check out all the info.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. It's okay to teach kids how to read, but it's not okay to teach them to read the Bible, at least not in a government school. A teacher in Smithville, Texas, faced national backlash after she had her first graders recite a Bible verse, a verse that taught kids to love people and run away from evil.
I don't have anything against religion. I actually love Jesus. I do. I love Jesus. I love his teachings. I love his practices, and it's been a big impact in my life. I don't believe that that belongs in the public school system.
That's Charlie Lucko, one of the parents who complained about the Bible recitation.
It was disturbing to me. Putting aside the fact that it's unconstitutional, right, and illegal, I believe every child, you know, deserves to be raised up, developing their own values or the values that are based in their families.
But according to the law of the land, Bible-based values are no longer welcome in government schools. I'm Todd Stearns.
Is the introduction, the theme song for Hogan's Heroes.
And a great song it is.
It is. I like it. Snappy.
Huh?
Hogan.
How long was that on? How long was that? How many years?
Probably 3 years, something like that. 3-4. In the probably late 60s, maybe early 70s.
All right. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio, also known as
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. And it's the only college I know that broadcasts live radio.
And
we do test here now, and you get your score.
Yes,
right.
You know, you don't have to wait for 6 weeks. You know,
right.
Anything like
that. On the air, you're either right or wrong.
Right or wrong. Either you feel better or worse about yourself now.
And the only school in America. Where you don't dread summer school.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
Duly noted, Ed. And JJ.
And, yeah.
Even though that was JJ, not Ed. Hey, JJ, you, in all seriousness, you travel a lot, represent our ministry. You do speaking engagements. You do stand-up comedy. You also do inspirational talks as well. And I wanted folks to know if they're looking for a speaker for an event in their community, they can check your website out. True.
Thank you for that. This week I was in Tennessee, and I was the entertainment for a pastor's and wife's Christmas party, Christmas banquet, and that was just a lot of fun. Thank you to the folks there in Shiloh Baptist Association in Shiloh, Tennessee. We just had a great night. It was good to see that many pastors and their wives, and we just laughed together and had some encouragement as well. But jjjasper.com.
So if folks want to have you come and speak for a a pro-life event, a pregnancy clinic. Or
get to do a lot of those, pregnancy center, annual fundraisers, already getting invites for next year, wild game ministry things, men's ministries.
Do you, always go with a good attitude?
On the Yes, I do.
I would want folks to have you in and then
it'd catch me out on off day.
You get in town.
Yeah,
you know
have a chip on my shoulder.
And
or
they
something.
Call me and they say, Tim, man. Yeah. JJ, is he always that sour and dour? You know what I'm saying?
But now this is happening more before the night's over. And I, you know, you put on your different face, your stand-up comedy or your where, you know, whatever the setting. And but then people walk up signing books or something afterwards and somebody will go, here's the deal. And that always makes me smile. Yeah, I get that. I hear that a lot these days. But thank you for that plug. And it's something that I really love to do, very rewarding to get to meet our listeners face-to-face.
All right, let's repeat our questions and get back into the calls.
So. All right, I have one remaining from my original questions, and I'll add two. When you get an invitation that says RSVP, mm-hmm. what does it stand for, or mm-hmm. what does it mean? Second question, we're just talking about JJ's alter ego there, his voice. Everyone knows the alter ego of Superman is Clark Kent. Mm-hmm. Who is the alter ego for Iron Man?
Oh.
And then third question, a true or false?
Robert Downey Jr.
Well, that's the actor. So want the character who's the alter ego. Okay. Either way, you came very close to answering
don't blur,
my question.
Don't blur.
Here's my final question. Viking helmets actually did not have horns on them. Is that true or false?
Here's what I've got. First question, which U.S. state is nicknamed the Badger State? Which U.S. state is nicknamed the Badger State?
Don't leave you alone.
Boy, if everybody in that state went to work as a telemarketer, think of the poetic justice in that. Hey, here's a second question. What author wrote As I Lay Dying? What famous author wrote As I Lay Dying? Third question, true or false, Colonel Harlan Sanders of KFC fame once shot a man in a feud over an advertising sign. Is that true or false?
All right, here are my three questions. What two from the Bible. I've had this one for a while. What does the trying of one's faith work? What does the trying of one's faith work? Question mark. Number two, new question from the scriptures. What were the disciples also called?
Good question.
What were the disciples also called? And number three, what building from, this is from history, what building first appeared on the back of a $20 bill in 1928?
Made of ivory, if that helps anybody. There's a clue.
There's an ivory palace.
Right. All right, back.
All right, we go to Oklahoma, and Mike is on the line. Mike, mm-hmm. welcome to Trivia Friday.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, good morning. You want to ask, answer, or do both, Mike?
Let's do both here while I'm wearing my first edition Trivia Friday T-shirt.
Look at you.
Automatically smarter.
did we sign it? Did we autograph that for you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We did?
Yep.
Good.
First edition.
Wait, oh, the first edition. Yeah.
Nice. Wow.
I remember when we signed that.
That is a keepsake. All right, Mike, what's what question do you want to try to answer?
Okay, let's try the RSVP one.
All right, when you get an invitation that says RSVP, what does it stand for or what does it mean?
It means to please respond.
Yeah, it is correct.
Nice.
The letters is it RS
French, isn't it French word?
Yes, the letters yep. RSVP actually is the French words which together mean please respond. So it doesn't mean, you know, refreshments served very promptly, you know, or any those kinds of things. People always want to make those stand for something in English, but
you know what, my wife Allison, she's from the old school of etiquette.
Yes.
And she's not old. I
was just saying, be careful here.
I paused there.
Yes.
It was not intentional. But anyways, we're in our mid-50s. But she's from the old Amy Vanderbilt and whatever. What was the other famous etiquette? Anyway, my point is, she says people don't RSVP anymore.
They won't respond, no.
A lot of those things.
It's terrible.
They don't write because you're trying to plan something. A lot of stuff like that. Yeah.
People won't RSVP anymore. It's just I don't know what happened to that generation where it stopped. But I mean, you're invited to something. They ask you to tell them whether you're coming or not. At least you can do that. People don't even do that.
Yeah.
Or either they show up and they didn't RSVP, and I say you toss them.
Yeah. You say, listen, right, you didn't RSVP. We have
no soup for you.
Your food. We didn't prepare your food. I have some.
So there's the door.
Have a peanut butter
right
sandwich.
The door.
But you got to make your own
sandwich.
We'll
escort you with security if we need to.
Hey, serves Mike, what's your question for us?
Okay, here it is. Now, if what would a person be or have an interest in if they were a tapophile? Tapophile.
A tapophile.
Yeah.
A tapophile.
So, file means they love this.
Yes.
So,
tapophile.
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 I'm going to just throw something against the wall and see if it sticks. Maple syrup.
That would
maple
stick.
Syrup.
That would stick.
The people that tap those trees, it's called tapping those trees, and they put the little faucet in the maple trees. So that's as random as I can get this morning.
And as crazy as that answer
maybe
is,
go with tap dancing.
I've got nothing better than that.
Go with tap dancing.
Yeah. Tap dancing.
That was my second.
All right, I'll go with tap dancing then. You got a guess,
no.
Tim?
No.
All right, I think you got us, Mike. Clearly,
tapophile is a person who has an uncommon interest in graveyards and gravestones.
Wow. How does how did they get the name for tapophile?
Epitaph. I don't know.
Epitaph. I got you. Hey, Mike, have a great weekend. Listen, if Tim Wildman ever invites you to a party, please RSVP because he's a little bit touchy about that.
Yes, sir. Okay. Have a good one, guys.
You
all
too.
Right.
Thank you, Mike. All right. We continue on the phones. We go back to Louisiana. Louisiana's lighting it up today. Daniel is on the line. Daniel, welcome to the program. Daniel, are you there?
Hey, Daniel, you'll need to turn your radio down because there's a delay and it's going to throw you off.
Hold on just a second.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Welcome to the program, Daniel. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
What if I got to turn my radio down?
Yeah. And you know what? If you're listening on a CB, that's extra confusing. So, but yeah, if you're
all the way.
Just turn your radio down, good buddy. So there won't be any kind of delay there.
Right, I already did. There was two questions I was going to answer, but I can't remember the other one. Let me try the first one.
Well, you can only try to answer one question, Daniel, so you need to pick one. Which one you want to try to answer?
Well, you don't have time to go through the questions.
What now?
He said, do we have time to go through the questions?
You don't have time to go through the questions again.
Yeah, we will go.
All right, we'll go ahead.
Just for you, Daniel.
Yeah. Here's mine.
That's great. I'm saying you little lions, Dan, anyway.
Here's mine. Here's mine, Daniel. Everyone knows the alter ego of Superman is Clark Kent. Who is the alter ego for Iron Man? Second question, it's true false. Viking helmets actually did not have horns on them. Is that true or false? And I will add a Bible question. After Jesus fed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread, how many baskets were left over? Those are my questions.
Here's what I've got, Daniel. First question, which U.S. state is nicknamed the Badger State? Second question, what famous author wrote As I Lay Dying? Third question, true or false, Colonel Harlan Sanders once shot a man in a gunfight, a feud over an advertising sign. Is that true or false?
I'm gonna take a chance on that one.
Go.
Which one on the Colonel Sanders?
Yes, Colonel Sanders.
All right, Colonel Harlan Sanders once shot a man in a feud over an advertising sign. Is that true or false?
Well, this will put a dead end to it, I guess, because one way or the other, we're going to have to establish it, but I'd say it's false.
Daniel, it is 100% true.
Really?
Colonel Harlan Sanders had a Shell gas station.
I wonder if it was over a chicken sign.
Well, it was over a chicken sign. He had a Shell gas station. He started cooking his chicken. That's where he developed his secret recipe. He started painting on barns and things, pointing people, you know, there to come eat. And his competitor started painting over the signs. And so somebody told him, hey, Matt Stewart is painting over another one of your signs. It was the second time he had done this. Colonel Harlan Sanders went down there with somebody in his car. And when he came up on the guy put down his paintbrush and he started shooting at Colonel Sanders, and the other fella hit the other fella and killed him.
Wow.
So Colonel Sanders started shooting back, shot him in the shoulder, shot him in the hip, and from behind his vehicle, which I've got a crazy sense of humor, he yelled, "Stop shooting, you've killed me." He, you know, if you can say that somebody's killed you, there's a good chance you're not dead. But he wound up going to prison. But Colonel Sanders shot him in the shoulder and shot him in the
hip. Did Sanders go to prison?
No, because they said it was self-defense, and he killed the fellow that was with him.
Wow.
So, but that happened in 1930. Wow. How bizarre is that?
That is bizarre. Mm. That's crazy.
Okay, well, I have a question for y'all, too, but I think you're going to know it, because I think y'all answered it already.
Well, go ahead, Daniel.
Well, we'll go ahead and see. How long does it take for light to get from the sun to the earth?
We did have that question because I gave it about,
what is it, eight
six
seconds,
months ago.
Seven seconds. I was thinking
Seven or 8 seconds, Daniel. Do you know, Tim?
I think it's minutes. It's minutes, not seconds.
It's eight minutes.
8 minutes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
All right.
It's 8 minutes and something.
Right. Hey, Daniel, thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, brother. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed and JJ. And Learning University is on the air. That's what you're listening to, Learning University. And we are making you smarter or better or more awesomer, as Ed says. And we're taking your phone calls with your questions as well.
You, sir, are correct. The short answer, it takes sunlight an average of 8 minutes and 20 seconds to travel from the sun to the earth.
Yeah.
You.
Well,
got it.
That explains a lot why I have to sneeze when I walk out into sunlight. That's the explanation.
It's old light. It took an entire 8 minutes to get there.
Practically out
of date.
Back to the phones.
All right, back to the phones we go. We go to Texas, and Mark is on the line from Texas. Mark, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you. How are y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing good, Mark. Thank you for asking. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I like to do both. I don't recall that one question, the trying of your faith. Y'all still have that question?
We do. Who am I talking to here?
This is Mark from Texas.
Well, Mark from Texas. How are you today, brother?
I'm great. How are y'all?
Doing great ourselves. And here's the question you want to answer. From the Bible, what does the trying of one's faith work?
Patience or perseverance?
Yes.
Nicely done.
That would be correct. Patience is what I have. Perseverance would be the same thing, basically.
Okay.
This is from James chapter 1, verse 3. Do you have that scripture in front of you?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's what it talks about.
Right.
Go and read it today, everybody. James chapter 1, verse 3. What does the trying of one's faith work? Patience.
Right. Good.
All right. What's your question for us?
It's from the Old Testament, and the question is, what priestly line was also named among David's mighty men?
What priestly line was also named among David's mighty men?
All right, we're gonna talk amongst ourselves here, Mark.
Yeah. So don't say yes or
no. I love that story. You had the three mighty men, then the 30 mighty men. You had Benaiah, his personal bodyguard, part of
wasn't
that group.
Kohath, like the Kohathites. I think Kohath was. That seems to be buzzing around here, but I'm not sure. What do you?
Let's
guys
go
think?
With that.
I'm in 2 Samuel right now.
Okay.
So about every other question, I'm going to answer Absalom. So I'm thinking that.
All right, Mark, well, we have two answers, Absalom or right. Kohath.
I got a shot.
You cracked me up.
The answer is Zadok, Zodack.
Okay.
All right. First Chronicles 12, 28.
Okay. Well, Zadok.
Good.
All right.
Good.
Zadok, son of who?
Absalom. Is that what you want me to, you want me to answer that?
Hey, Mark, thank you so much. And Feliz Navidad. Hasta luego.
You know, some things in this.
Thank you, Mark. What makes you think Mark was Hispanic?
Man, I could hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. I love that accent.
You know, it's funny, the Bible, which we proclaim here on American Family Radio and believe it's the inerrant, inspired word of Almighty God.
Right.
The Old Testament and New Testament.
Yes.
But still, it doesn't make, still, there are things in the Bible that are funny to me.
Oh, sure.
Funny to me, which doesn't make it,
being irreverent.
Any less
No, exactly. Yeah, but I just, as you're listening to the Bible, as I'm doing on this app, and everybody has to be the son of somebody, right? And what I'm saying is that means nothing to me. Okay, nothing to your reader.
Right.
Except rarely.
Right.
Like, but still, the writer of the Bible felt the need to tell future generations that so-and-so was the son of so-and-so.
Well, you fast forward a lot, and just not too many years ago, people would say, Tim the carpenter, Bob the blacksmith, and they would add what you did, and then that's how everybody got their last name.
I know.
That's where Smith came from. That's where carpenter came from.
Where they're from,
right?
What town?
But my point is, I don't even know who the guy they're talking about is.
Exactly,
who he's the son of. But I'm going. Am I supposed to have? Did I miss that back in?
Oh,
I started going back to see if that was like.
Was that in Deuteronomy? Where did I miss
right.
that from? Huh?
That's how they identified people.
I know.
Who didn't have last
names. I know.
Name, so.
No last names. Right. You're just the son of so and so.
You feel good, mocking the Bible.
All right, I wasn't. I was just saying that some things.
Well, it's because Social Security numbers hadn't been invented yet, so they needed something.
You had to.
All right, let's go.
All right, we go back to Louisiana again. Louisiana's carrying the water here, and Mark.
Well, they are now, but they didn't last night against Dallas.
Woo! Yeah, got a little zinger in there. Little zinger in there from
And Abraham Hamilton III, who a lot of our listeners know, is a huge New Orleans fan. And last night on his program, when I was on the way home, he predicted that the Saints were going to crush Dallas. Yeah. So I texted him and I said, "Go Cowboys!" Yeah, and the Cowboys won. So.
Yeah. There goes JJ's invites from Louisiana out the window right there.
All right, Mark from Louisiana, welcome to the program, brother. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
Well, good morning. Good morning. How are you gentlemen doing?
We're doing great, Mark. Ask, answer, or do both?
Mm-hmm. I am going to do both, please.
Which one you feel confident about?
Well, I'm fairly confident since I had to read the book and college.
Hey, Mark, let me stop you. You're fading away. You got us on speakerphone. You're getting farther away.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, that's okay. We were just losing you.
Don't lose me.
There we go.
No. All right, that's better. Which one you want to answer?
I'm going to answer the question about who wrote As I Lay Dying.
Okay, there you go. What author wrote As I Lay Dying?
The author is William Faulkner.
That's right.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Mark, I'm impressed.
Hey,
I had zero idea.
Hey, Mark, 30 miles from us, New Albany, his stomping grounds, Oxford, Mississippi, same thing, his home, Roanoke, just 30 miles from where our flagship station is here in Tupelo, Mississippi. So this is William Faulkner country, and people actually come from all over the world to visit Roanoke and go to Oxford, Mississippi, to learn more about William Faulkner. So quite a literary genius.
Yeah.
I'm feeling sweaty about it.
I felt quite confident in that question because I graduated from Mississippi State.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did I. When did you graduate from there?
More years ago than I care to talk about.
All right, Mark.
Were they still talking about Jerry Clower playing football whenever you were there?
Oh! He was on one side of the line, and I was on the other.
Really? Well, see, he played football,
I didn't actually play with Jerry Clower, but I did play at Mississippi State, and I graduated in 1967.
Terrific.
Oh, wow.
Go Dogs.
That would have been That would have been before, who was your coach?
Paul Brown.
Okay. Reason I'm asking, I'm a Mississippi State grad myself, but mine would have been 86, a few years after you. But I remember following the football teams about late 60s, early 70s. But you had the misfortune probably of playing against Archie Manning, didn't you?
No, we didn't play against Archie that particular year. I had actually played at Hines Junior College.
Okay.
2 years prior to that. And my first year there, I destroyed my knee. So that sort of ended my playing career.
Gotcha.
But we were there during the Paul Brown era. And John McDaniel was our line coach at that particular time. Right. I remember him.
Mark,
thank you.
Thanks for that good history there. And, boy, that's exciting you got to play college football. Hey, what's your question for us?
I have a question. I've been pondering how I want to ask this question because it's a giveaway except for the actual answer itself. The author of the mystery novels with James Bond, Ian Fleming, named his hero after an American author. What did the American author do for a living?
Ed?
Well, if he was an author, he wrote for a living, right?
Well, he did write. What type of writing, I should ask?
Oh.
Calligraphy.
I have no idea. Mark, you got me. What's the answer? What kind of writing did he do?
Well, it goes into a little bit of it. Ian Fleming wanted a name for his famous hero that was plain and he felt unassuming. And he named him James Bond after the American ornithologist that he admired.
Okay, so he wrote, what's that, about birds? Ornithology?
Bird, he was an author about birds, and Ian Fleming was a bit of an amateur ornithologist himself.
That is interesting.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, hey, and that's why we have this show. That's a good bit of trivia.
So Mark, James Bond was that's very interesting.
Yeah, it was a real named after a real person.
Huh. And it's hey, thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. That's one of the most you talk about an unassuming name. It might have been the intent of Ian Fleming to make it an unassuming name, but you walk around and say, I'm Bond, James Bond. Nowadays, that's the complete opposite.
Right.
Does anybody else in the world do that, though?
What's that?
Say their name, their last name, and then repeat their name. Does anybody do that?
I've done that before. People say, what's your name? I say, Vertagliano.
Well, when people...
Ed Vertagliano.
At the restaurant, when they ask me how I like my sweet tea, I say, stirred, not shaken. Or whatever it is.
Yeah, that was,
I think
you were asking, you were begging for it.
Yeah, I was begging for it. That's a pretty good Sean Connery you got going
there.
Yes,
Junior.
Give us more.
I'm Sean Connery. You want to get Capone? Let me tell you how you get Capone. He brings a knife.
Hey.
You bring a gun.
EdVitagliano.com.
Yeah.
If you want to book Ed for some of your events, too, in addition to J.J. Jasper, maybe they'll come as a tandem. Who knows? We're going to take a break right here. When we get back, we'll get as many calls as we can in the next half hour of Learning University. Our Trivia Friday, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.